This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
With the bright lights beaming down on the stage and the crowd breathing with bated breath, Anne Osman enters fists first into the ring as Malaysia's first female pro MMA fighter. When she's not fighting under the Borneo Tribal Squad, Anne also runs her own travel adventure company. We sit down with her in this episode of Her Vantage to take a peek into her life as a fighter and entrepreneur. You're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm Frida Liu. Very nice to be speaking to you, Anne, and congratulations on your latest win.
Thank you, Frida.
So mixed martial arts, MMA, a lot of people don't know what it is. A lot of women don't know what it is. Maybe you can start off with a little bit about what this is and how does one go into this professionally?
Well, just very briefly, mixed martial arts is a combination of different martial arts style, if you may. For instance, you know, someone could combine it with what, karate, grappling, wrestling. It has to cover, you know, techniques that is required when you're standing on your feet and also on the ground, which we call grappling. There's wrestling. There's so many different martial arts styles in the world, and one may have their own different kind of style. For me personally, I've trained kickboxing, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, wrestling, judo a bit. So, you know, it's always great to learn, you know, more martial arts, if you may. But for me, you know, I've learned those that I've mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I've been practicing all these years. And for me, for someone who wants to start, you know, you just have to do it. You just have to give it a try. Go to a really good gym, get a really good coach team that will help you and encourage you.
Okay. And how did you get into this professionally?
Well, it all started, you know, a lot of people would think that I grew up learning martial arts, and it's contrary to what people think. I actually only started when I was in my mid-20s, and it all sparked when I was already working out in this gym, and my coach, AJ Pyro, who at the time was training other students, mostly men, you know, Muay Thai, in this gym that I was going, and just out of curiosity, out of wanting to try something new and learning self-defense, I gave it a try. And, you know, AJ, who was my coach then and my coach now, he was the one that encouraged me to try it. He's very welcoming. He doesn't look at gender and say, oh, girls are not allowed in this class. He actually welcomed more girls to participate. And at the time, there weren't many other women trying it. This was back in 2012. And so I gave his Muay Thai class a try, which then, you know, transitioned to mixed martial arts because AJ was already fighting with one championship. MMA at the time, one championship at the time, was very new. MMA wasn't as popular as it was right now, even globally. There weren't many other women training and fighting professionally, but, you know, it was growing. And so I gave it a try, and after a few months of just regular classes, AJ actually encouraged me to join and compete in this amateur MMA tournament. So I was kind of intimidated. I was like, you know, I only gave this class when we went to class for 2-3 times a week. I wasn't sure it was enough. You know, I've never been in a fist fight. I've never been in cage fighting. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I remember I was working as a marketing manager in this company, and I was like in between, you know, meetings, and I was like texting AJ. I'm like, okay, let's do this. So I went online, registered as a competitor, and yeah, we got myself a competition, and we flew to Putrajaya. We had to, you know, everything was under our own expenses, but something that I personally wanted to do as well. So I'm like, okay, let's give this a try. And, you know, right after that first amateur MMA comp just led me to participate in many other amateur competitions, Muay Thai. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. A year later, I got signed by ONE Championship, and the rest is history. I'm fighting with ONE Championship till today.
Okay, now your nickname is in the ring is Athena. Okay, why Athena, and how have you branded yourself with Athena?
Oh, I wish I branded myself. It wasn't me who looked for the name. It was AJ. Well, there's this rule in the gym, you know, where you have to earn your fight name. And it's not something that you kind of like pick and choose. AJ gives the name to his fighters based on their commitments to the sport, to training, to fighting. And, you know, many of us have different fight names. I've got teammates who is named Ice Comet, Iceman, who will be fighting next week anyway. I got my name Athena right after that first amateur MMA competition I joined. And AJ said to me that, you know, he saw the determination and fire from me when, you know, I was in that cage, and hence the name Athena. So, you know, I've lived it ever since.
And you know what? You're saying that you only started in 2012. So it's only been about 5 years that you've been at this.
Yes.
Wow. Are there many women in MMA in Malaysia now? I mean, do you have an idea of the numbers?
Well, I don't have, you know, like the exact number, but from what I know and what's apparent is that many other gyms have included MMA program in their, in, you know, part of their gym program, part of their schedule. And there are other gyms who are, you know, there are a lot of mixed martial arts gyms just popping up. Muay Thai gyms who are other single martial arts gyms are now turning into, you know, having MMA part of their program. And a lot of more women are actually training mixed martial arts. That's what I heard. And, you know, after going around to other gyms, they're telling me that, oh, you know, there are now more and more women actually training, and some of them even competing.
Yeah.
And thanks also to the many other organizations who have contributed, such as Tune Talk, who is, they are one of the backbone and one of the company who has pushed and encouraged people to actually participate and compete in mixed martial arts. You know, they've been one of the biggest sponsors for ONE Championship for events in Kuala Lumpur. And they've also had their own event, which is an amateur tournament called Malaysian Invasion, mm-hmm. where they've actually introduced a female category. And this was last year. And hopefully they're going to continue again this year, because we've seen many other women who hasn't had much experience competing in mixed martial arts have a platform for them to give it a try. So actually they've done it 2 years in a row, and which is great. You know, we've seen many other women step up and, you know, say they want to give it a try, and they finally have like a grand finale where they've actually determined who's the winner for that category. So it's just great. You know, they've been promoting mixed martial arts and they've really pushed it. And, you know, it's just lovely to see that more women are now training and competing professionally.
What do you think women are generally discouraged with it? I think it's the blood. It's the blood for me.
I think, you know, mixed martial arts is not having to train as an athlete, doing it full-time now, doing it professionally. Many people would always give excuses, not really because of the sweat or the blood. Well, there are many other factors. There are things like their schedule, you know, because for me as a professional athlete, you have to train every day. And I never miss training. Even when I have work outstation, I would, you know, work out in the gym, or I would go to another MMA gym and kind of train there and, you know, ask my coach for advice, oh, what should I train today? Or I would do my own training. So it's a very strict routine. And I've not only seen women, but also men who feel kind of discouraged to live this kind of strict routine. So this is for someone who would want to compete professionally. There are also people who maybe there are other factors where, you know, they women didn't find the right gym or the right coach. Because I know, and it's quite sad to know that there are still teams out there who are not really welcoming to women, you know, where they want to, where they kind of keep this as a all guys kind of team. And it's quite sad, you know. So I would actually advise for girls or women who would want to try to do their research first, find these gyms that have more women on their team, sign up with them, you know. There are more other women out there who want to help. You know, try to find a team that has more girls, so probably a female coach on the team if there is. And, you know, just get on with that team instead of, you know, just an all guys. But I'm not discriminating. There could be men out there who are very helpful. You know, I was so lucky to be on this team where there weren't many other women at the time, but AJ and all my other teammates were very helpful, very welcoming. That's what they need to do, you know, they just have to give it a try.
Right. And is the training similar for both men and women, the kind of rigorous? I mean, it is the same, right, for men and women?
Yes. AJ wouldn't, like I would say, you know, I run the same miles as the guys does, and it's a really strict routine. You know, there's no easy route for women. Probably, you know, it only makes you tough. And that's what I'd say, you know, it's not just women who are being discouraged, you know, to continue this trick or treating, but also men. And I've seen, you know, some of them come in and say, you know, they're interested to become a fighter, but once they've tried the training, and then they slowly, you know, say like, oh, this is not for them. So. Yeah, it is a really strict routine, actually.
Okay, now I saw your video of you, the last one, the one that you won, and you were pounding that woman, right? Do you? So what's that? You know, it's like, wow, that's a lot of testosterone. But, you know, how do you get into that frame?
Well, when you've been, like, training for weeks, like, I prepare myself for a month.
I want to win.
Yeah, that's all you think of. Like, you're the one that made me, you know, I can't eat my peanut butter because of you. You know, you're going through a strict diet. Every time the mentality, you want to go in there to win. And, you know, whatever it takes. At the beginning of my career, it wasn't something that I was really used to, you know. And I remember my teammates saying, you know, if you have to break, you have to break. If you have to punch, you have to punch. And I've kept that ever since because, you know, I kind of let my opportunity go when, you know, I was kind of
hesitant.
Hesitant. You know, you wouldn't want to hurt anyone if possible, but it's a sport. It's a fight. And win or lose, it's a game. You've already trained for weeks, sacrificed for weeks. It's not just me alone, like everyone around me sacrificed. And I want to make sure that it's worth it. And I have to go home with a win. So that's all I had in my mind.
All right. We'll talk a little bit about your travel adventure business in just a moment. I'm here with Anne Osman, who is Malaysia's first female pro MMA fighter. You're listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good afternoon, Frida Liu. Here speaking to Anne Osman, who is Malaysia's first female pro MMA fighter. She trains under the Borneo Tribal Squad and also has her own travel adventure company. You know, and it's very exciting to see you, Anne. You know, a great example for Malaysia. Now, you know, have people come to take MMA fighting as a serious career and sport yet? Do you see possibly becoming a national sport?
I hope so. You know, mixed martial arts, yes, it is quite new. Yes, it's not mainstream yet, but it's getting there. You know, it's just, you know, getting more popularity. There has been rumors or, you know, people saying that jiu-jitsu will get in Olympics. I'm really, really hoping to see that. Jiu-jitsu is part of, you know, the martial arts style that I train. Mixed martial art might take some time to get there, but, you know, it's already growing really rapidly. And just, you know, I've been in the sport for 5 years and, you know, I've seen how fast it grew in Southeast Asia within that time. And, you know, it's just been huge from, you know, just how many athletes in one championship. Now, you know, even women, there's been a surplus of female fighters on the roster, and it's just growing even more. Even this week, which is, you know, one championship's big event in Bangkok, where my teammates will be fighting in, you know, it's headlined by a female title fight. So that's one step at a time. You know, mixed martial arts is just going to keep growing, and hopefully that it will become a national sport. Hopefully it will get to that level.
Right. Do you think, is this something that you can do full-time at this point?
Well, yes. For amateur, maybe not yet. But for someone who is fighting professionally, even for me, you know, I am fighting full-time, although I'm not fighting every month or every week. It really depends on the fighter himself. But for me, I'm exclusively fighting for one championship. And personally, I think that I am fighting full-time. You know, I've trained every day. I commit to the sport. I commit to my training every day on a full-time basis, you know, on top of managing my own business.
Right.
So regardless of what people think, you know, it is a full-time job.
Yeah. So tell us about your travel adventure business, Borneo Paddles.
Oh, no, it's actually Extreme Paddlers.
Okay.
We renamed it.
Extreme Paddlers. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, Extreme Paddlers is our whitewater rafting department. Basically, I've had this for a year plus now. And, you know, it's something that I did managing with my husband, mm-hmm. Andre. We're both very passionate about the outdoors, about extreme sports. And, you know, we see the potential, especially in Sabah, where the mountains, the beaches, the river, the you name it, everything's in our background. Everything, you know, yeah. in East Malaysia. And Action Palace is actually part of our Sdn Bhd company called Travel Right Tours. And through Travel Right Tours and Action Palace, we create tourism packages, you know, available for anyone who wants to come visit Sabah. But Action Palace is basically all about whitewater rafting. And, you know, we're really happy to have started the first whitewater rafting activity in Kota Belud. It's a northern part of Sabah, mm-hmm. and we're one of the first operators to actually open up whitewater rafting in Kota Belud, which also means, you know, it opens up job opportunities for the locals there. It opens up so many other opportunities, and, you know, it's just going to be great, and we hope to expand it even further in years to come.
Right. And are most of your clients and customers locals? I mean, Malaysians or from overseas?
We have a mix, surprisingly. There are locals who are really excited, who has never tried whitewater rafting. I'm talking about Sabahan locals. And, you know, they're always looking for new things to do with their friends. They're always looking for new adventures. And most of them has not tried whitewater rafting, you know. So same way, like, I have not tried diving in most places. Mm. So, you know, it's kind of like a trade-off. Like, most people would want to give whitewater rafting a try. We also have a lot of foreign customers or tourists. But most of our clients, direct clients, would be agents, tour agents, only because we are a tour operator. So we have people like tour agents sending us tourists to our whitewater rafting site.
So, and how do you find time to do both? It helps to have a good husband.
Well, it helps to have my husband there. He's mostly handling operations. Yeah. And for me, I'm handling most of the admin and finance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it takes a lot of, how you say, pre-planning, time management, organizing, you know, my schedule. And it's great that my team of staff really understand what I do, you know, not just running a company, but also physically training and always out and about. So it's, but on a day-to-day basis, I really manage my schedule. I wake up as early as 6 or 7, and, you know, I train. And then right after training, I would go to the office, stay in the office till about 5:30 to 6. And then after that, I'll continue training. So I have like 2 training sessions. Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of time management and support from my team and from my husband.
Right. And I guess one last question. Any advice for women who want to get involved in MMA but are afraid to do so?
Well, my advice to women out there is to just go for it. Give it a try. You know, if it's not something that you want to do professionally or to compete, it's fine. To me, mixed martial art has so many good benefits. You know, I've seen women who has never fought, who has never trained martial arts before. I, for myself, am one. I've never grew up with mixed martial arts or any martial arts for that matter. And here I am. And I've seen women who, you know, just change in character. Mixed martial arts has a lot of benefits. It not only teaches you all these physical techniques, but it teaches you all these values of respect, you know, never giving up. And it just builds character. So I'd say, go for it, girl.
All right. I was speaking to the amazing Anne Athena Osman. This is Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.